Blessings, greetings, joy, peace, and love. Happy Sunday, everyone. It is Sunday, June the 10th, 2018, and this is Trina Kirkland, the fabulous host of Talk Up with Trina. And welcome to my podcast. I love Sunday. Actually, I love every day. But Sundays give me a special little time to spend some time with family and meditate and to spend most importantly, it is a day that I get to hear lots of people talking about their sermons and what they've heard and learned this week about their relationship with God. So I am so looking forward to hearing some sermons from today, some good words and whatnot. So I'll be searching around on the internet looking for things to share with you. But what I am going to share this morning is a daily devotional. Matter of fact, I am going to finish this book today. So, let us get to it. We had The Person You Seek on the 6th. So, I am going to continue today with day 25. And it is titled, Abide in My Love. And again, we are reading from the Secrets of the Vine devotional and journal. And my friends, we're almost done. So please stay tuned for Abide in My Love. Abide in My Love. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in My Love. John 15:9. Sharon, a reader of the Secrets of the Vine, wrote to say she was particularly struck with the statement that Christians don't abide with God because they don't believe He likes them. How sad and how true, she wrote. I see God as someone disappointed in me and unpleasable instead of someone who really enjoys my company. Sharon is not alone. Countless Christians carry around the millstone of imagining an untrustworthy, unlikable God. You might be one. You might assume God loves you. After all, loving the world is His job. But deep down, you suspect God doesn't really like you. Fixing you? Sure. Saving you too. But spending time in your presence, enjoying the real you? That's difficult to imagine. He knows everything I've ever done. You wail. How could He be interested in my company? What words would you choose to describe God's attitude toward you? Take a moment to think about the numbers on the following scale that most accurately describe how you feel today. I think of God as stingy, being 1, and generous, being 10, or something in between. I see God as harsh, 1, or merciful, 10. Or somewhere in between. I see God as uninterested, 1, or attentive, 10, or somewhere in between. I see God as short-tempered, 1, or patient, 10, or somewhere in between. Take a moment to think about it. If all or most of your choices fall toward the right side, 10, of the scale, you have an accurate picture of God. How do I know? Because when Moses, who spent great amounts of time in God's presence, asked God to show him His glory, God delivered a stunning self-portrait. He described Himself as merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth. Exodus 34:6. If, however, all or most of your choices fall toward the left side, 1, of the scale, you identify with Sharon. Therefore, pursuing a deeper familiarity with God may not seem possible or desirable to you. I assure you that God wants the truth about Him to change how you think. Once you know God for who He is, the horizons of abiding will open before you. Put yourself in the following story. Suppose you're on your third week of setting aside time to abide with God. Things could hardly be getting any worse. You've missed more morning appointments than you've kept. Last night before you went to bed, you got into a shouting match with your teenager. You got so rattled that you stepped outside to smoke a cigarette, a habit you thought you'd finally licked 6 months ago. This morning, you slept late, pressed for time, feeling resentful, and without brushing your teeth, you stumble into your study to grab your Bible when you notice an angel seated in your chair. His face is aglow, and his whole being shines with a beautiful holy radiance. What are you doing here? You gasp. I'm supposed to meet with God here now, the angel says calmly. I have a morning appointment with him. But, so do I, you reply. This fanciful story leads to my question. Assuming God could keep only one appointment this morning, whom would he choose to meet with? You or the angel? My friend, there is no contest. None. Not at all. God would choose you over the angel in a heartbeat. Unlike any angel, you were created by God in his image with friendship specifically in mind. He knows everything about you, the beautiful and the blotchy. And he loves you. Furthermore, there are no conditions on his love because he is love. 1 John 4:16. Here's another truth that you may find shocking. God wants to abide with you more than you want to abide with him. When he spun the strands of your DNA in the secret rooms of eternity, he had no one but you in mind. He made you, just you, on purpose, with pure delight, and with great anticipation. There's nothing you could do that would change his mind about sending Jesus to die for you. And today, he longs for the pleasure of your company. I hope you keep your appointment. Thank you so much for listening to Abide in My Love. Welcome back, my friends, and we shall keep moving on with the devotional, and I will be reading day 26, Beyond Simple Disciplines. Stay tuned. Beyond Simple Disciplines. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Psalms 42:1-2. As a young man, I remember setting off for seminary, determined to get the secrets of the Christian life nailed down. By the time I attended my first chapel, I was already outfitted for religious success. Armed with a brand new Hebrew Old Testament, a Greek New Testament, and a briefcase full of theology books. When the president of the seminary, Dr. John Walvoord, announced his topic, The Secrets of the Spiritual Life, I couldn't believe my good fortune. Here I was, not even a week into training, and the president was already going to tell me exactly what I'd come here to find out. Dr. Walvoord proceeded directly to his outline. There are three secrets, he said. I hurriedly pushed record on my tape machine. Then he unveiled the secrets. Read the Bible every day, pray all the time, and share your faith with everyone who doesn't know Christ. My heart sank. Why? I'd been hearing these secrets in church since I was a kid. Yet looking back now on Dr. Walvoord's advice, I see that he was absolutely right. In our quest to know God better, it's practicing the basics that yields the results. You've probably already heard the secrets of abiding too. But I wonder, have you decided to make them a necessary part of your life? Let me suggest three steps that may seem simple, but are absolutely necessary if you want to break through to abiding. 1, plan your devotional time. Set aside a time when you are at your freshest. morning is best. Find a comfortable, completely private place and go there every day. Most of us can't add one priority without giving up another. So decide what you will let go. Second, practice the primary spiritual disciplines. Even though abiding doesn't mean working harder, it is still our responsibility. Abiding is not passive. It is something we choose to do. Here are the essentials. Read the Bible. God's word is your primary resource. Receive it as his living letter to you. If you feel stuck, start with Psalms and Proverbs and then add a gospel or an epistle. Don't worry about how much you cover. Just read until your mind and heart opens to the word. Pray. Begin with a one or two sentence prayer in your journal. Pray it out loud. If it helps you stay focused, keep track of God's answers. Practice honesty, respect, and careful listening. You're talking to a person, and this is the most important conversation of your life. Praise. Express your thankfulness and worship to God. Praise enlarges your trust in God, invites joy, and trains your heart to hope. Keep a spiritual journal. Write down what you're learning, which Bible verses you want to remember, and what you want to tell God. Measure your spiritual progress with an occasional review of your journal. It is a record of a living relationship. And fast. In fasting, you present your deeply felt need to God as an act of worship and faith, asking him to fill you up. Even a brief fast can add more sensitivity to your spirit and more life to your praying. These practices take effort. That's why they're called disciplines. But simple as they are, they can bring lasting change for you as they have done for generations of pilgrims. Whether you're 18 or 78, they can reshape your life so dramatically that you'll soon be living a level of fruitfulness and fulfillment that you assume is impossible right now. Yet shockingly, you can do every discipline for years without abiding. Many Christians do. These are methods. Abiding is a dynamic relationship with a person. There are observable actions. Abiding is an invisible awakening. That's why my third suggestion may be the most important of all. So thirdly, pursue God with all your heart, determining that you will seek him until you find him. If you do this, I promise you'll begin to abide. I can say that because God guarantees it. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. The Bible says in James 4 and 8, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Jeremiah 29 and 13. The very fact that you are reading this page means that you deeply desire to be near God. Your spirit thirsts for him like the deer panting for the water in today's verse. Go in earnest search of God today and never stop. If you make your move, he'll make his. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope that you enjoyed Beyond Simple Disciplines. I will be back shortly with Day 27, The Measure of Friendship. All right, I'm back. I hope you enjoyed Beyond Simple Disciplines. And I just wanted to take a minute to make a comment on that before I move on to the measure of friendship. So he made a suggestion. Again, we're reading The Secrets of the Vine devotional and journal by Dr. Bruce Wilkinson. And where he suggested that there were three steps that you should take if you felt like you needed to break through or you wanted to abide. And one was plan your devotional time. Second was practice the primary spiritual disciplines. And third was pursue God with all your heart, determining that you will seek him until you find him. So those were the three steps that he said that we should take along this journey in abiding. But under step two, practice the primary spiritual disciplines, there are five sub-steps that I talked about, that I read. Read the Bible, pray, praise, keep a spiritual journal, and fast. So I'm going to help us out because I'm going to read the Bible right now and during this intermission before we move on to the measure of friendship. And the reason why I want to do it right now is because as I was finishing up reading that Beyond Simple Disciplines, and the third one was pursue God with all your heart, determining that you will seek him until you find him. And I was led to my favorite Bible verse, Hebrews 11, which speaks about faith. So I'm going to read a little bit of that. I'm going to talk a little bit about the verses. I'm going from verse 1 to verse 6, and I'm going to try to tie it into what I just talked about, and hopefully we'll get the picture. So Hebrews chapter 11. Verses 1 through 5, and then I'm going to emphasize 6. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God has translated him before his translation. He had this testimony that he pleased God. And then verse 6. Remember Dr. Wilkinson said, pursue God with all your heart, determining that you will seek him until you find him. So verse 6, I didn't understand why I was being led to this verse. But verse 6 does really just tie right into my... It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So diligently seek seems like a lot to me, like pursuing God with all your heart. So that's why I was led there, and I am just, you know, I read all of these books, everything that I'm reading to you, I have in the past read it, but it's just bringing back such a quickening to me and helping me to understand my relationship more, and I really hope that it is helping you as well. So, we got some Bible reading out of the way, and I spent a little bit of time with God. So, all right, I'm working on that list. And I would suggest keeping a journal, too. I used to, but I am going to start again keeping a journal because God is faithful and he is just. And if you write it down, rest assured you're going to come back to it and say, oh, I remember when I asked God for that. You know, don't let the world tell you who you are or who you should be. You already know who you are, and God has formed you. You know who you are. So let's take that, let's go forth, and let's be the best us we can be, because that is the reason why God created us. So please stay tuned for the remainder of the devotionals coming up, and we will be doing the measure of friendship. Day 27, the Secrets of Divine Devotional, the Measure of Friendship. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. Psalms 145 and 18.
19. You'd recognize Marina right away. She's that pretty young mother we all know who had struggled with her weight ever since she started having babies. Darlene met her at a weekend church retreat. Over grapefruit one morning, Marina listed the diet plan she'd tried. She had just quit on number 17. "The diets probably work," she told my wife. "It's me that doesn't work. I fall off the wagon, put the pounds back on. Why even start again?" Maybe you can identify with Marina's defeat when you think about the spiritual discipline of abiding. So many have told me that their efforts to get up early to spend time with God don't last for more than a couple of weeks. I'm convinced I'm actually an Egyptian, a Chinese student told me once with a big grin. He explained that every New Year's he'd resolve to read his Bible through, starting at Genesis. But his reading plan always seemed to go down to defeat by the time he gets to the story of the Pharaoh's army drowning in the Red Sea in Exodus 14. If abiding is an invitation from a loving father, if it is a command, and if it's the only way to experience the very best in the Christian life, why do so few of us manage to succeed? Based on what I've heard from hundreds of Christians, I've concluded that one of the most common roadblocks to abiding seems to be this. We measure our success by feelings and we depend on them to keep us motivated. For example, we assume that if we're abiding, we will feel deep intimacy, a warm glow, or a rush of excitement, a powerful conviction that we're connecting with God. When we feel little or nothing, we decide we're not abiding. Then, rather than face more guilt and failure, we quit. Yet we know that emotional responses are determined by many factors. Our physical condition, how much sleep we've had, whether we're anxious or depressed, how much coffee we've consumed, the weather, our basic temperament type. In fact, we don't judge our marriages and other significant relationships or friendships on feelings alone. No wonder that gauging intimacy with God by feelings alone quickly gets us into trouble. One kind of trouble is that we focus on manufacturing the missing feelings. Over the last 25 years, there's been a tremendous movement in the church that places a top priority on feelings. Your emotions, some would say, determine whether you're truly worshiping when you're close to God and when He's leading you. Unfortunately, too many Christians go home from enjoying an emotionally charged worship service only to slip into a lifestyle the rest of the week that disregards, offends, and dishonors God. They got the feelings all right, but they didn't find the person. Yet the Bible is clear. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. 1 John 1 and 6. Ultimately, your decision to abide is a gift of faith you present to God with sincere desire and respect. Faith, because you believe what He says. Desire, because you value His presence and the fruitfulness He promises more than any immediate sensation. Respect, because you know relationships just don't get anywhere without it. Thankfully, emotion is a wonderful part of a genuine spiritual experience. Those feelings of exaltation and release matter to God. Yet He is equally committed to your whole person, mind, heart, body, soul, and spirit, and He invites all of you into the adventure of knowing Him. If you identify with Marina's reluctance to start abiding again, I have good news. You don't need more Bible reading and prayer. You need to reach for God Himself. Pull up a couple of chairs. Someone is waiting outside who wants very much to meet with you. And this is His message to you today and every day. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. Revelation 3:20. His knock comes again at the door of your heart. Do you want him to come in for a visit? Then just open the door and welcome him. And I'll leave you with this thought for your journal. How have I misunderstood the role of emotion in my relationship with the Lord? What might my times of abiding change if I stop measuring their success by my feelings?